Welcome, Green Future Growers, Progressive Radio Network listeners, and anybody who's new to the show. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer, and let's get growing. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast today. I am thrilled to introduce my guest because he's reached out to me, and I admire his persistence because he made it, like, worked with my schedule so we could connect, and he's got some great things going on that I think you're going to like about, or like to learn about, and just today, here is Connor Flynn. So, welcome to the show, Connor.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. Talk about some gardening and some other things. It's good.
Cool. Well, go ahead and tell listeners a little bit about yourself. Like, I'm not sure I even know where you're at.
Well, I'm in Pennsylvania.
Oh, cool.
And I enjoy gardening with my wife, and I'm a freelance writer. So I spend most of my time stuck behind the computer. And when I'm not behind the computer, I'm out there doing yard work like crazy and taking care of weeds and you name it. But it's fun. It's a good thing to do when you're not stuck behind a computer.
Excellent. Well, I certainly spend more than my fair share of time behind the computer. So I do always kind of like to start out the show asking about your very first gardening experience. Like, were you a kid? Were you an adult? Who were you with? What'd you grow? Like, did you grow up in Pennsylvania? Like, what was your first gardening experience about?
Well, it's hard to nail down what the first was. It just seems like in some capacity I've been doing it my whole life. But one of the earlier memories is just a neighbor who had this great garden, just flowers everywhere. And I got to know that neighbor and just started helping him with his garden on a regular basis. And I guess I got the bug from him. Just in the dirt, working hard all the time and listening to music, just perfect. It just felt good, and so, you know, I just kept doing it in one way or another until I had my own garden.
I like that because, you know, when I very first started my podcast, I wanted to ask a question: what music or what do you listen to when you're in the garden? And like my first few guests were like, I don't listen to anything. I listen to the birds. I listen to the bees. I don't listen to anything. So I took that question out. So what kind of music did you listen to?
Well, at the time that was like the 1980s. So at the time we were gardening outside and we had Pink Floyd, The Wall blasting much of the time, which is a very interesting album to garden to. It was, kind of hard to explain, but it just seemed like kind of the perfect soundtrack for it.
That does sound like the perfect soundtrack. I can see that. And there's some of those songs that seem even more relevant today than they did even back then. So how did you learn how to garden organically then? Was it from that neighbor or?
Well, that neighbor, I just kind of learned to garden in general. The organic part of it really didn't hit me until I met my wife several years ago, and she introduced me to all the better organic ways to do it, and the fact that you could grow your own medicines and all that jazz. She really introduced me to the organic part. A lot of the other people that I grew up with, this might be kind of controversial to your audience, I'm not sure, but they would use Miracle-Gro. And I found out many years back that stuff, even though it grows plants really fast and big and tall, it's not really good for your garden or for your soil. It's got a lot of bad stuff in it. So stopped using that and basically just started making the soil itself very rich and healthy. And from your soil, of course, comes everything else. So with the Miracle-Gro thing, it's kind of like, yeah, you could use that to grow plants really fast and really big. Or the other option is to just kind of take your time, amend that soil, make your soil healthy. Then you won't need anything like Miracle-Gro, and then all your stuff will grow like that on its own.
No, that's like the perfect thing to hear on my show. And I'm curious to know, like, what are you using to amend your soil? Like, I guess my big question, like, lately I've been on this big, what are people doing for composting? Like, are you composting or are you adding manure or, like?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned composting, because as odd as it sounds, composting is a passion of mine. I don't know what it is. I love it. I love creating it and putting it in the garden. And that's been my big thing for a couple of years now. We just moved into the house that we're in a couple of years ago, like 2 years ago. And we have a half acre. And this past season, I created a compost pen sort of thing with wood pallets stuck together to create little stalls for compost piles. So, you know, anytime I mow the grass clippings go in there. You rake the leaves go in there. And then, of course, table scraps, like, you know, any fruit and vegetable leftovers, that all goes in there. It can sit in a great big pile for several weeks. Then you turn it. Then you smell that great smell where everything's just breaking down and creating that great compost. And so that's what I've been doing. I just love the whole composting process. And that's really the main thing, the main way that we get our dirt just doing great. I mean, we had sunflowers this year that grew about 10 feet tall, which kind of surprised us. And I think that's because we use the compost.
Sure. I love to make compost too. So that's why, like, I'm so curious, because people have been telling me, they're like, oh, composting's so messy, it's so that we get bugs or we get animals in the compost pile and things like that. So, like, I'm curious, like, what do you keep your compost in the house in?
Oh, in the house?
Before you throw it out, yeah. Do you, like, what do you collect it in the house?
Yeah, we have the same problem that everybody else has as far as that goes. So, I mean, I don't think there's any really good solution. What we do is we just have, like, two buckets in our freezer, on the door part of our freezer. And, you know, whenever there's a banana peel or anything, you know, we just put it in that bucket in the freezer. And then we take it outside when it gets full. I mean, because there's no great way. Like you said, you'll attract bugs and everything else. So if there's a better way, I'd like to know about it.
I like that, putting in the freezer. And that's what my mom does. She's always like, I like to put it in the freezer, and then that makes it easier. But I never thought of, like, having a bucket. And, like, the other day, I even, like, thought, you know, you could wash your ice cream bucket out in the freezer, which is what, like, we have, like, are inundated with, like, plastic ice cream buckets in my house and then plastic Folgers containers. So we just kind of use those, and then we weren't recycling them. And, like, I'm having a really hard time now. Like, they stopped recycling plastic in Montana. And so I'm feeling so guilty every time I buy a Folgers container. I'm almost thinking about quitting drinking coffee or finding some other source of coffee that doesn't come in a plastic container. Because at least I used to feel like before, like, we'd reuse it once or twice and then we'd recycle it. And now, and you can't, like, the bigger containers actually cost more, which drives me crazy. I'm like if you look at the per ounce price. And so I don't know. We've got to figure something out. And so then I'm also wondering, like, my mom has this really fancy, you know, ceramic one on her counter that even has, like, this charcoal filter on top. But then she puts plastic bags in there, and I'm like, that kind of takes away the point. And it gets really gross in the plastic bags. But then she'll, like, put it in the freezer, like you said. So I like that. Put a bucket in the freezer and put it right in there. You're the first person, I think, on the show that has said that. So I think listeners already are dropping lots of golden seeds, which is what I call tips and tricks for listeners. So, and then, I don't know, Mike and I, we live in the woods and we don't get animals in our compost. Like, on the rare occasion, there's a skunk that will come and get, like, I have one bucket on my porch that we put, like, coffee grounds and eggshells in. And then the food scraps we keep on the kitchen counter because we tend to give those to the chickens. But he'll get into the eggs. We have a skunk that seems to come around all the time. And he gets into the eggs at night, the eggshells. But nothing gets into our compost bin, like, of all that. So I don't know, but people complain about that a lot. And my mom, she just takes it from the freezer pretty much and buries it right in the backyard because she's so worried about animals getting in her bin. But yeah, we have several compost bins, actually. Mike has one that's kind of like the one you're talking about, built with the pallets. Those are nice.
Yeah, it works really good because you can have your piles in sections too. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like about it.
Yeah, I'm totally as passionate about compost as you are too. Like, I feel like even if you don't have a garden, you should still be composting your food, because it's like, I used to think, well, it's okay to put it in the, you know, it'll help all the other stuff in the landfill biodegrade, but it doesn't really work that way, and it almost creates like a more noxious gas. So we don't even want to be putting this stuff in a landfill anyway. So anyway, tell us about something that grew well this year.
Well, this year seemed to be the year for squash for us. We had squash, tomatoes, potatoes, but the squash really seemed to take off this year. We have more squash than we know what to do with. The other that's not food related is morning glories just took off this year like crazy. We had a really sort of, we had a very wet summer. But at the same time, it was also very hot and humid and sunny when it wasn't raining. So it was like constant moisture. The squash and the morning glories really took off because of that.
Do you ever eat squash blossoms? Like, my mom used to make the most delicious squash blossom fritters somehow. And I think it's like just like basically like flour and water and salt and pepper and stuff on the flowers that were always really good.
Yeah, I think my wife might have had that, but I haven't had that.
Well, how about, is there something you're excited to try different next year or something new you want to try?
Well, I mean, there's always new stuff to try. One thing that I've been thinking about is, do you know what Hugo cultures are?
Yeah, Hugo culture. I mean, truth be told, I never heard of it before I started my podcast, but like my guest, like number 7 or 6, I think, talked about it. So since then, I've learned about it.
Yeah, I'd like to try that and just try building those mounds with all of the sticks and everything. Basically, they're just sort of large compost piles, really. And then you can grow things directly on them and in them. I'd like to try that because we're backed up right against some woods here. And we've got tons of sticks and tons of wood. And yeah, I'd like to do that.
Cool. Yeah, we haven't tried it yet either, but I know a lot of people really like it. So how about something that didn't work so well this season? Is there something that didn't come out the way you thought it was going to?
Well, I mean, there were a few things, but I think that's mainly due to a groundhog problem that we have.
Oh.
We have this pet groundhog that likes to come and steal everything, so he kept stealing our tomatoes and bean sprouts and things like that. So that's what didn't work out well this year.
So what do you do about him? He's a pet?
No, he's not a pet. He just sort of comes in under the fence and... Well, we like to let small things like rabbits in, so we don't want to completely get rid of any holes under the fence completely. So we're in the process of figuring that out. I think our main strategy so far has been to just kind of plant enough to where he's got some and we have some.
Nice. Well, I like that. How about you don't worry about the rabbits taking your food, too?
No, the rabbits don't seem to bother the things that were growing. I'm not sure why. They seem more interested in the grasses around here.
That's interesting. Before we get to the root of things, we're going to thank our sponsors and affiliate links. Hey, Green Future Growers. Did you get your copy of the Organic Gardener podcast, Garden Journal, and Record Keeper? One of the things that I've learned to be most beneficial for my guests that will save you time and energy is to keep detailed records of your garden journey. So I think I finally found the secret and made a garden journal data keeper that starts any day of the year because you just fill it in. It's blank. There's no calendar. So it's got the days of the week. You can record temperature, freeze dates, frost dates, when you planted, what variety you got, all in one place. So get your copy of the Organic Gardener podcast, Garden Journal, and Data Keeper today. The Organic Gardener podcast is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, gardeners, healthy eaters, strength trainers, and green future growers just like you get lower rates on their life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/OG. OGP, or mention the promo code OGP when you talk to a Health IQ agent to save up to 33% on your life insurance. Well, we're actually all the way up to getting to the root of things. So this is kind of like, I don't know what other podcasters call the lightning round. And like, so what's your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Like, is there something that you have to get yourself out there and force yourself to do?
Probably like a lot of people, that would be weeding. And there's just too much of it. And it seems like no matter what I do, I got too many weeds in the garden. And I have to get out there and take care of them constantly.
How about your favorite activity then?
Well, that would be making compost. That's definitely my favorite activity.
Cool. Well, I like that. What about, what's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Best gardening advice I ever received. I've gotten so much of it, that's really hard. But I guess it kind of goes along with advice. When I learned that you could grow your own medicine in your garden, that was a big one.
Is there anything in particular that you're growing that you really like, that you guys are using on like a, that's helped or anything? Or just in general, like herbs and different
plants? Just in general. I mean, whatever you need, you can find either in your garden or, you know, a lot of times even just in your grass. I can't think of anything specific right now, but it's just good to know when you need something, you can make it or grow it or find it.
Yeah, I just did a great interview with this guy from, he's actually from Montana, but then he's teaching down in Denver, and I haven't posted it yet, but he talks a lot about weeds and medicinal herbs and things that you find that are just growing, like plantain and, you know, dandelions even, and just some other really cool, I can't remember what we talked about. I just did that interview too. How about your favorite tool? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
Well, that would probably be a hard one, but I think a metal rake. Like, there's this one rake that I have that has, like, it just has, like, three or four prongs, really. But I use that thing for everything. So I guess it would have to be a metal rake, just because you can do so much with them. You can rake the leaves, I've even used them to weed really weedy patches of garden. You can just sort of rake it and just pull weeds out. They can aerate the soil. So I guess it would have to be a metal rake.
Excellent. How about, do you have a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden or that your wife cooks that you like to eat?
There are several recipes, I guess. She likes to make fresh salsa with the tomatoes from the garden, and then of course there's squash soup. So my wife usually handles all that stuff. I don't really have the recipes. I just sort of enjoy it.
Cool. I like that. Squash soup sounds good. Like a yellow squash soup or like with zucchinis?
Yeah, it's like a yellow squash soup.
That sounds so good. It's getting to be soup time. How about a favorite internet resource? Like, is there somewhere you like to surf on the web?
We generally like, you know, any of the Pinterest gardening stuff, of course, and permaculture-related sites. I'm not sure we really have a favorite. I guess it would probably just be the Pinterest organic gardening stuff.
Cool. How about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine or a blog that you can recommend?
I'm usually too busy working online to enjoy it myself, so I don't really have a favorite blog in that regard.
Well, how about talking about your website? Like, there's two of them, right? Where are you going to talk about? There's the electric mower, and then there's your other website about... Sorry, you tell them, I forgot what it's called, but it's like where you compare the things and it has like these funny, really funny things on there that you can click on.
Yeah, well, my website where we feature gardening things from time to time regularly is called internetversuswallet.com.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be internet vs wallet.com. And the idea is kind of, it's a shopping site where you can find all kinds of neat, unique things and useful things. But at the same time, you can also find, you can also click the button to get a random internet website. So these websites are curated by me. It's usually funny stuff, you know, very shareable things. You just kind of have to check it out to get the full picture of it. But it's exactly like the name says. You can choose either a random internet site or you can choose to shop and buy a cool item.
It's kind of like a game. Like, let me see if I can, like, so listeners, if you go to the website, so it's kind of like a product review, and there are some really cool products. Like, one that I love that I've been thinking about is, like, it looks like a garden container, but it's a box. I mean, really, it was like a lock that you buy, like, when you get packages, because we all know I'm a big Amazon shopper, and I know more people are shopping through Amazon, but people are, like, getting their products left, like, I know across the street from my mom, where she lives in New York, I'm like, I even saw her postman delivering on a Sunday one time when I was there, like, dropping off the Amazon packages. Like, it's getting bigger and bigger. And so this is kind of a lock. And, like, when the delivery person drops it off, it, like, automatically tells them what it was. And then, so, like, so you can either click on wallet will take you to a link to actually buy the product, right? But then if you don't feel like buying that product, the internet thing sends you to, like, some fun internet, like, obscure site, but they're, like, really interesting things, right? Like, is that how it works?
Yeah, there's funny videos, there's games, there's just kind of what I call funny, useless stuff, which is, like, you know, for instance, there's this one site that if you drag your cursor across the blank screen, it will create a bunch of text. It's kind of like art. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff to find and look at there. And then, of course, you can shop too. Yeah, it's
But then also, like, a lot of the things that you have on your site that people go shopping for, you don't see other places. Right? Like, some of these things, like, I remember there were those whale computer chairs. There's that giant cabbage blanket. Like, if you're really into vegetables and stuff, you might want a giant blanket that looks like a cabbage.
Yeah,
it's kind of like novelty stuff, right?
Yeah, it kind of like is. It's fun, unique stuff that you don't see everywhere.
Like, there's those cute, like, good Christmas presents for people. Like, there's those cute flower sack towels, like, everyday I'm brustling. So, like, Brussels sprouts, kale, yeah, let the beet drop. Like, those are really cute, gardeners might like.
Yeah, there's definitely, it has its fair share of gardening things just because I love them too. It's just fun, and it's just a different kind of thing.
The Pioneer Woman turquoise rustic cowboy cutlery set. I'm just kind of looking now while we're talking here of some things that listeners might be interested in. Like, one of those plastic clear shower curtain things that you can put, like, your iPad in or your cell phone in so you can listen while you're in the shower, I guess is what it is. I don't know. That would not be, like, my kind of thing in the shower, but some people might like it. I'm sure lots of people, I guess, lots of people might like that kind of thing. There's an outdoor bat shelter.
We featured these gloves a while back. They're gardening gloves, but the cool thing about them is that on the tips of the fingers, they're like little shovels, so that you can just dig with your hands very easily in the garden. I think they're called genie gloves or garden genie gloves. Very cool.
Cool. All right. And then, did you want to talk about that electric lawnmower, which is kind of where I thought we actually connected in the first place, wasn't it?
We connected with the electric lawnmower. I thought maybe you might want an article on your website about an electric lawnmower. But we were going to do the podcast instead.
Well, tell us about, like, what would you have said in the article? Because I'm sure my listeners are interested in electric lawnmower.
Well, it was basically, it just all goes back to my love of compost, I guess. I'm sorry, I just can't get enough of it. I was going to talk about how you can use the lawnmower to mulch up your leaves and do composting with it in that way.
Oh, yeah, that's where I saw it. I was just talking about that on another podcast. I was like, yeah, somebody was just telling me about, because I would never think of, like, chopping up my leaves with the lawnmower. But that would help them decompose faster, right? And make it into, like, a finer type of brown thing that you're going to put in your...
Exactly. And, you know, I've got so many leaves. I mean, it seems like no matter how many I rake up, there's just more and more. So, and then the... you know, if you go and buy a leaf mulcher, like a real good one, it'll cost you way too much money. So I just figured at one point, you know what, I'm just going to start mulching them with the lawnmower. And it worked out perfectly. So, you know, that's some advice I would give to people. You don't necessarily have to buy the expensive equipment. There are alternatives. And, you know, you probably already have a lawnmower, so go for it.
Cool. I had never heard of that. I never heard of a leaf mulcher.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes they have a bag on the bottom and you just kind of throw your leaves in. Essentially, it's a fan blade and it just cuts them up, you know, before it hits the bag. But a lot of them are just very expensive.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, that's a great idea. I'll bet listeners are like, wow, I'm going to try that. And it's perfect timing because it's fall. Hopefully it'll still be fall by the time I get this up on the air, because sometimes the editing part takes a while before I get them. But I'm kind of, like, behind on interviews. Like, I only have, like, 2 interviews in the bank. So there's a good chance this will be up way before Thanksgiving. Maybe even before Halloween. So anything else you want to talk about, like, business-related-wise before we get to my final question?
Yeah, I don't think so. Just compost and compost for a healthy garden, I think, is my main message.
Cool. Well, I like that because I'm all about the compost. And I was so shocked this summer. It kind of started because, so I'm building this garden course. And, like, my lesson number one, the very first thing I start with is compost. And both my mom, and then I also talked to this, like, business coach who's, like, in my online how to build a course class, and she was like, why are you starting with compost? She's like, I tried to build compost. You're going to turn people off before they plant their first seed. And I was like, really? I'm like, to me, compost, like, one of the struggles we always have is finding good dirt and getting good dirt. And to me, besides the fact, I'm not always the most successful gardener. My husband's really the gardener, but I like to do the compost part because I'm as passionate about compost as you are. Like, I just think it's so easy. Like, it's completely forgiving. Like you said, you can put it out there and let it sit for a month, or you can turn it every day. Like, it doesn't care. You can turn it once a week. You can turn it, you know, whenever you want to. It's like to me, the easiest thing. And then I always joke about, I like clean gardening tasks. I don't always want to get dirty. Like, the days that I'm planning on going to the garden and, like, working down there, but, like, if I get home from work, I'm in my good shoes, or I put my jeans on that just came out of the laundry, and I just don't want to get really dirty that day. I like clean gardening chores. And to me, composting is a clean gardening chore. But I've met all these people, it seems like, this summer that have been resistant to it. So I'm trying to kind of figure that out and try to see what I can do to make it simple for people. Because, like I said, I also think you should be composting whether you garden one thing or no things or a ton of things.
I think people think it's a lot harder than it really is, or maybe some people make it harder than it is.
Honestly, I do too.
It's just a pile, and it will do its own thing. Greens, browns, and... your scraps and some moisture. That's all you need.
And air. I think air is a key, because I've heard people say that, like, when I was teaching, we would even keep the compost on the counter in the classroom all week, and I would take it home on Fridays. And the big thing I learned there was it needed air. It needed, like, as long as we didn't put a lid on it, it didn't smell really bad. As soon as we started putting lids on it, that's when we got more fruit flies. We got more. The other thing I did notice, and this was also when I had my worm bin, definitely if you just are composting fruit, because my kids, mostly what they eat in the classroom was breakfast, and so we had a lot of fruit, a lot of grapes, a lot of oranges, a lot of pears and things. That was kind of where we would get more of the flies. Watermelon, we would get more flies, whereas, like, I'm such a lettuce eater. Like, I really feel like I was a rabbit in a past life or something. Like, I just eat a ton of vegetables that always have a lot of the greens and the roughage to go with it. So that's the only place I can see where people are more likely to get the flies. But I don't know. I'm like you. I think composting is easy, simple, and so important. And it builds that soil. I mean, we spend enough money on dirt to buy compost would just be like surprising. Anyway, so here's my final question. Ready?
Sure.
If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, Connor, is there a charity or an organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
Wow, you're putting a lot of responsibility on me with that question.
I know, but I totally, like, I'm curious to see if you say what I think you're going to say.
Well, I mean, I think I always lean toward a couple of different things with this sort of topic. And one of them is I'd really love to see people stop mowing their lawns. Stop it with the well-trimmed and manicured lawns. Maybe it looks good to you, but you're hurting the environment. It's no good for anybody. We should let our lawns grow a little bit more. It will feed the bees and other wildlife. Not to mention all the bad stuff that people spray on these lawns to keep themselves well manicured. And then the other thing would be we need more. We're losing a lot of wildlife and a lot of land on a daily basis because, you know, the human population is just, it just keeps exploding. So another thing that I'd like to see is sort of, as we run out of room, I'd like to see more of this city space devoted to farming and agriculture. Even if you've got to take some of the skyscrapers and other buildings in a city and turn them into farms. I mean, there are ways you can do it, and we have the technology. I think we need to, as we eat up more and more of this nature, we need to be replacing it.
Wow. Connor, I think you had perfect answers, and I was completely wrong. I thought you were going to say everybody should compost.
Well, yeah, they should do that. Don't forget that.
No, that was excellent. I love that. And it's so true. And that, you know, certainly planning for and leaving more space for. And I just think it will make, like, I was even just like in the store looking at these magazines. And I want to say it's Oprah just came out with a magazine all about like meditation and how to de-stress your life and declutter your life. And one thing she was talking about was there was like a whole article or a couple of pages on getting into nature more and just like how much it can like relax you and unstress your life if you just spend like a little bit of time walking amongst the trees or sitting in like a garden space. So people who live in cities need to have those places in their lives. So that's a great answer.
When you think about it, it's amazing that there are people out there who will live their entire lives without having experienced what you just talked about. You know, these city people who never get out into the wilderness at all.
I actually, when I was like first out of high school and in college, met a guy who totally was like into the dark street city life, like never wanted to have anything to do with like dirt, bugs, insects. Like, he was the only person that I really ever met like that. But, you know, I was living in the city then because my first college was in Brooklyn and I kind of like went the total opposite way. But yeah, there are. But I still think they're few and far between. But I get amazed like when I live in Montana and I'll go teach at a school in a city in Montana and I'll be like, I can't imagine living in Montana and not having deer in my yard every morning. Like, we always have deer. They like in the summer, they like live under the trampoline because it's shady. Like, we're always surrounded by deer. Or like, we'll go on a field trip with kids and they'll be so excited to just see a deer. And I'm like, why are you living in Montana? But I mean, there's nice cities in Montana, but it just always seems so surprising to me. So, well, how about just, do you have like an inspirational tip? I mean, you've dropped a ton of them, but to like a quote or a tip or anything to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden or their own compost pile?
I would just say our health is in a lot of ways directly tied to nature and to getting out in the garden. And if you want a healthier body and mind, you got to make dirt a part of your life, I think would be my message.
Oh, I love that. Cool. If you want a healthier mind or body, you've got to connect with dirt. Is that what you said? Sorry, I didn't type it fast enough.
If you want a healthier body and mind, it's good to make dirt a part of your life. There are microorganisms in the dirt that are good for you. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's many, many, many reasons why it's great for humans.
That's perfect. I think you should design some t-shirts or coffee mugs or something with that logo on it. If you want a healthier body and mind, good to make dirt a part of your life, and sell them on your internet versus wallet website.
Yeah,
pretty good. Yeah. All right. Well, tell listeners once more, how do they connect with you? How do they find your website?
Okay. My website is internetversuswallet.com. So that's internetverswallet.com. And it's just that easy. You can find all kinds of cool stuff and have fun.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us, Connor, and dealing with my crazy schedule and just sticking through and being persistent and making it work out today. So, especially I was late, so thank you so much.
Not a problem. All right. Great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, you have a great day and enjoy the fall.
You too. And everybody out there, make sure you enjoy the fall as well.
Hey, Green Future Growers. Did you get your copy of the Organic Gardener podcast, Garden Journal, and Record Keeper? One of the things that I've learned to be most beneficial for my guests that will save you time and energy is to keep detailed records of your garden journey. So I think I finally found the secret and made a garden journal data keeper that starts any day of the year because you just fill it in. It's blank. There's no calendar. So you just, it's got the days of the week. You can record temperature, freeze dates, frost dates, when you planted, what variety you got, all in one place. So get your copy of the Organic Gardener podcast, Garden Journal, and Data Keeper today. Hey there, Green Future Growers. Would you like your friends and neighbors to create an organic oasis too? Would you like others in your area to learn about earth-friendly practices for their gardens and yards? If so, we would love it if you would share the Organic Gardener podcast with your local community or college radio station today. Thanks again for listening, and remember, grow local.